Chapter 22. Mortarion's raw strength was renewed. Facing it full on, the Khan doubted that any of his brothers, save perhaps Ferus, could have matched it. The Death Lord absorbed every strike that connected, sucking the power out of the blows like a leech, taking the hits and coming back for more. The tenacity of the Death Guard was legendary, as was their ability to absorb punishment and just keep coming. Now, witnessing them in combat for the first time, he appreciated just how true it was. The Silent Death Shroud were as implacable as their master, still fighting with the Keshig amidst the wreckage. Warriors of both sides had already fallen, their bodies caked in the drifting dust, but the fighting continued around them, bitter and unyielding. The pyramid's vast interior rose up around the combatants, terrace upon terrace, blotting out what little light remained under its blackened shell. The two Primarchs had torn through what must once have been the antechambers and audience halls, kicking aside fire-crisped books, old instruments, and carbonized artifacts from a thousand worlds. Now the heart of it loomed before them, a circular floor of obsidian, ivory traced with mystic swirls of silver and clogged with the atrophied cadavers of the long fallen. Banded columns as wide as rhino transports towered all around, rearing up into the gloom like sentinels. At the very centre, inlaid into the dust-streaked floor in gold, was the Eye of Magnus, still glistening faintly even beneath the filth that caked it. Directly above them, hundreds of metres up, was the apex itself, open to the fury of the skies. As they broke into the circle, the Khan felt himself tiring at last. Never, in uncounted years of combat, had he felt more than trivial stirrings of fatigue. He had fought the greatest champions of Xenos races, had brought down creatures that stood as tall as warhound titans, had carved his way through fields of greenskins as violent and unending as the tides of the sea, and still he had never felt the bone-deep drag that Mortarion inspired. Only the Primarchs could destroy the Primarchs. Mortarion began to laugh in his coarse way.
"Never had it this hard, eh?"
he grunted, still wielding silence heavily. He was suffering too. Blood flecked his cheeks and forehead, and his rebreather rattled as he hauled in thick breaths. The Khan launched another attack, flourishing the dao before searching for a way through Mortarion's stony defence. He was still faster, still more accomplished with the blade, but it was like duelling with entropy itself.
"You neither,"
the Khan observed, gesturing to the lines of reddened sweat trickling down Mortarion's ash-grey temples.
"True enough."
Mortarion's voice gave away his regret. Even amidst the slow-burn resentments, the long bitterness, the Death Lord was still sane enough to see the irony of the situation. The Primarchs had been bred to fight as part of one army, each brother making up for the deficiencies of the other. For all the jealousies and rivalries, in terms of raw conquest, that army had been perfect. The Emperor's vision, the great crusade for unity, sweeping across the stars, governed by 20 immortal avatars of his own unmatched psyche, had been impeccable. Now, though, here they were, brawling amidst the embers of Russ's vandalism. The fall was already severe, and they both knew that it would plummet deeper before the end.
"You could recant,"
the Khan said, falling away from a whistling sweep of the scythe just as it angled at his helm.
"Horus does not own you."
Mortarion snorted.
"No, and he never will. You have seen our father's glory unleashed. None of us could stand against him."
Mortarion surged back on the offensive. Around them the columns flickered and leapt with the reflection of fiery disruptor energies.
"He is hobbled by his own mistakes. The throne room is a den of nightmares, one that he cannot leave. The field is open. It is ours to claim."
The Khan beat away a scythe strike and went for Mortarion's gorget. At the last minute, he jutted the blade down, slipped below the defence, and cut a long gash in the Primarch's breastplate. This time the blade cut deep, paring already fractured armor and delving into the ribcage below. Mortarion grimaced and jerked clear, cracking the Khan's sword away with his scythe shaft and staggering backwards.
"There is nothing to seize," growled the Khan, going after him. "Nothing but burned earth. Look around you. You will make this the whole galaxy."
Mortarion snarled defiantly and barreled back at him, using the scythe like a halberd and smashing the hilt into the Khan's midriff. The Khan lurched away, stumbling across the uneven floor, and Mortarion lumbered after him. More blows came in, hard, heavy, earth-shaking blows. The Khan was driven further, only barely able to weather the explosion of fury directed at him. When they slammed together again, the impact was bone-jarring. They tore into one another, each strike powered by raw defiance. Fragments of armor flew like shrapnel. Gas exploded from Mortarion's store of vials as the glass was shattered, nearly blinding them both. Blood flew in straggling splatters, trailing across both combatants and staining their armor. As they hacked and countered, neither giving up so much as a centimeter of ground, it mingled upon the blade's edges, as rich and dark as wine. As the Khan fought on, the taste of copper in his mouth and the burn of acid in his muscles, he felt the law of the planes nag at him. He needed space, room to use his speed. He had to break free, to turn the fight to his strengths, to rip clear of Mortarion's cloying grasp. Summoning up one last burst of energy, the Khan bludgeoned aside the scythe and pulled away, beckoning his adversary to come after him. The Death Lord held silence high, casting a sickle shadow over the eye device upon the floor. His ripped cloak billowed out in an almost parodic vision of old legends, the Reaper myth of a thousand human worlds summoned into life on a world of extinguished souls. The Khan held position, panting hard, trying to drag up energy for the final clash. His heart thudded, his lungs burned. He held the Tao poised, waiting for his enemy to move.
"Come to me. You can see my weakness."
One thrust. One perfect thrust, angled precisely. He had the strength for that. It would have to be flawless. If it were not, no defense remained. Nothing else would suffice for this enemy. No lesser move would accomplish the kill. But Mortarion did not move. He stood, rigid, as though suddenly listening for something. His scythe fell into guard. A thin coughing broke from his mask, which the Khan soon realized was an exhausted kind of chortle.
"So, the choice has been made."
The Khan held his ground, unsure what he meant. Mortarion gestured to the Death Shroud, and they began to pull back towards his position.
"Our ships are at war, brother,"
wheezed Mortarion acidly, limping into retreat.
"This was not what we were promised, but I will not lose a fleet for this fight."
The words blurred from all the blood bubbling in his mouth, spilling out from the edges of his mask.
"Mark it, though. This thing is eternal between us now. You and I, our fates bonded in this place. Remember that. It was here that it started."
The Khan felt the dust stir around his feet. Coils of marsh-green energy rippled down from the pyramid's open apex.
"And when we next do this,"
rasped Mortarion,
"the lines will already be drawn."
He saluted mockingly, and spears of hard-edged light suddenly lanced down from above, bursting through the cloud cover and crashing through the heart of the pyramid carcass. The Khan sprang forward, seeing too late what was happening. The Tao moved quickly, blisteringly fast as he had ever moved it. If it had connected then, it would have stabbed straight through Mortarion's neck, darting over his guard and severing the coils that kept him breathing. But in an instant, the Death Lord and his retinue were snatched away, sucked into the vortex of the warp. The world's wind howled in their empty wake. The ash stirred, the lightning forked. The Khan, carried by his momentum, staggered through the empty space where his enemy had been. He whirled around, wrong-footed, still poised to strike. Qinjar faced him, unblooded but for his blades. The Thousand Sons legionary was still there, as were five of the Keshig.
"Get me back to him!"
the Khan roared, still pumping with aggression. The hunt had not been concluded. The kill had been ripped away. Qinjar lowered his weapons. For a moment he said nothing, but faint clicks from his helm gave away the attempts he was making to contact the ships in orbit. Then he shook his head. Whatever means the Death Guard were using to penetrate Prospero's ether barrier, it could not be replicated. The Khan turned to Arvida.
"This is your world," he hissed. "Get me off it."
The sorcerer looked unsteady on his feet.
"Your ships are still in orbit."
Arvida glanced at Qinjar.
"The barrier is the problem."
"I believe so."
"It will be difficult,"
Arvida murmured, looking back at the Khan.
"I can only manage a short while. Let us hope someone is watching carefully."
The Khan nodded.
"Do it."
Arvida backed away, the others giving him plenty of space. He collected himself, clasping his hands together. Witch light coalesced around him, drawing to his armor like spinning stars. Flickers of silver kindled upon his gauntlets, picking up strength. In a few moments, both his hands were blazing with light so intense that it was hard to look at. Then he extended both hands heavenwards and released a column of coruscating luminescence, electric white and searing hot. It shot out vertically, leaping up the central shaft of the pyramid and bursting into the skies above. He staggered, only just keeping his feet, but the line of ether force kept thundering out of him. The sky ignited into a chain reaction of silver. Answering peals snapped out from above as hard as thunderclaps. A lattice of iridescence cobwebbed across the underside of the cloud cover. For the first time, the unbroken wall of occlusion broke, revealing a rainbow spectrum of lurid shades beyond it that burned and danced like aurorae. Arvida himself began to shimmer, his crimson armor blazing. The incandescence intensified until it became blinding. For a moment, the Khan thought that he might be staring straight into the Astronomicon itself and had to turn away. He looked upwards, over to where Arvida's released energy still shot into the turbulent skies.
"Now, we hope," he muttered darkly.
Shiban's elation at Jemulan's entrance had been short-lived. The forces were now even, each carrying devastating amounts of firepower. Every stage of the escalation had brought the ruin of the Legion closer. Weapons that had been made to turn upon enemies were now opening up at one another. He stayed crouched, his Guandao activated and ready, gauging where to strike. Hasek and his forces still had control of the command throne area at the far end of the bridge hall, plus the high observation deck and the wall terraces. Jemulan's troops had teleported in two groups along the flanks, and the bulk of them were at the near end, clustered amidst the sensorium stations. There was plenty of cover for both sides, though the presence of hundreds of mortal crew members, locked down at their consoles and stricken with uncertainty, made the prospect of a clean confrontation less likely than that of a collateral bloodbath. The prospect filled him with a sensation close to nausea.
"How have we come to this? How has this madness taken hold?"
Putting aside such thoughts, Shaban leapt from cover.
"To me, brothers!"
he roared, beckoning them back into the fray. His brotherhood surged into the open again, keeping low and sprinting towards the enemy. The fighting was just as tight and claustrophobic and horrifying as it had been before. Space Marine crunched into Space Marine, full-blooded and committed. Jemulan's Terminator retinue crashed through balustrade railings to get at their counterparts, already laying down a blistering curtain of combi-bolter shells. Ornate pillars and buttresses took damage, quickly becoming pocked and cratered. The mortal crew, unable to do anything in the face of such unleashed fury, cowered behind what defences they could find. all but one. A grey-haired woman. Her army general's uniform, rumpled and torn, ran straight towards Shiban as he charged the servitor pits, waving her arms frantically. Shiban's first reaction was to shove her aside and get to the enemy. Jochi and the others streaked ahead of him, leaping over stairways and around obstacles to charge at Torgon's warriors. Something in her eyes stopped him. She was desperate, not to survive, but to get his attention. Her face was familiar. He had seen her before somewhere. "Stop!" she shouted, bawling her lungs out over the roar of battle. "The Kargan! I have a locus!" Shiban scraped to a halt. She looked incredibly frail, out in the open with no blast armor, not even a lasgun, and he towered over her. "The teleport platform," she panted. "Get me to it." The chamber was 200 meters away across an open stretch of marble flooring, crisscrossed with bolter trails. Already the columns were taking hits, caught in the concentration of fire between the rival factions. She would never make it. Even he might struggle. "Who are you?" he demanded, moving around to shelter her with his armored form.
"Damn you!"
she screamed, looking like she might punch him.
"Who do you think opened the docking bay doors? I've got a lock. You understand? Get me there or watch your legion destroy itself."
Shiban glanced again at the teleportation platform, looked back at her pleading expression, and made up his mind.
"Don't struggle,"
he said, scooping her up under his left arm. She weighed hardly anything.
"Just hang on."
Then he took off, head low, sprinting as fast as he could. The first shell hit him only a few meters out, colliding with his right pauldron and nearly knocking him onto his chest. He staggered away from the impact and kept going. He made it halfway across the chamber before being struck on the leg, a direct hit. The ceramite of his knee guard shattered, driving shrapnel through the armored layers beneath. He fell, crashing to his knees, arching his body to protect the mortal who still clung on. If she screamed, he did not hear her. The thunder of battle roared all around him, growing in volume as the two sides locked in earnest. He got to his feet again, ignoring the blaze of agony in his leg. He dragged himself towards the chamber, still keeping the woman sheltered. More hits came in, a bolt round to the back that exploded against his armor's power pack, and another hit to the same leg that made his vision go black with pain. A plasma bolt smashed into his damaged pauldron, glancing from the curve but showering the wound with molten metal. He kept going, gritting his teeth against the agony. As the platform's columns rose above him, he pushed the mortal clear before his falling body could crush her. She crawled free, darting into the relative safety of the chamber's inner mechanisms. Shiban looked up, bleeding heavily, and saw her reach a control point. As more bolts exploded against the circlet of columns, she frantically punched in a series of codes, and the apparatus began to hum with building power. A second later, and the space between them exploded with light. A hard bang shot out, radiating across the entire bridge like a series of crack grenades going off. Electric spears forked out, lashing and snapping at the columns before shuddering out again. Shiban watched the woman recoil from the roiling sunburst, shading her eyes with her hands. For a moment, he could not see anything within the seething mass of energy. Then, figures clarified within it. White scars in Terminator plate, and a space marine in red armor on his knees from exhaustion. Before them stood a greater silhouette, massive in ornate armor, his cloak shredded to ribbons, his face an armored mask of burns and heavy cuts. He strode out from the failing storm of light and cast a baleful gaze across the bridge. The hall was still in torment, with brothers at each other's throats, lost in a maddened world of battle cries and muzzle flares. Shiban coughed up blood, unable to move. The Khan walked clear of the teleportation platform, twisting his helm off as he came. He gazed out across the bridge, his severe face twisted in horror. For a moment he did nothing but watch the carnage, shock etched on his features. Shaban's mind raced back to Chondax, to the last time he had been so close to the Primarch. Back then he might have been content to die to achieve such an honour, for that had been in glorious battle against the Xenos. This, though, was different. For so much still remained in the balance, and there was precious little glory in what any of them had done. He tried to rise, but the pain rushed back in, blinding him, filling his head with a throbbing swell of agony. He tried to drag himself closer, to speak, but could not. He felt his organs giving out, followed by a cold wave of numbness across his chest. His helm clanged to the deck, and all went dark. The Khan strode down from the platform, his Keshig following him closely. Ahead of him, the command hall remained swamped in combat. Many of those close enough to the teleportation flare to hear it over the clamour of the fighting broke off in sudden confusion, but others remained committed, locked in the storm of bolt shells that crisscrossed the entire space. For a terrible moment, the Khan witnessed the warriors of his legion at each other's throats. Mortarion's words rang in his head, as mocking as that final salute.
Half your legion are already declared for Horus.
He scanned over to the command throne. The fighting was heaviest there. With a lurch of recognition, he saw Hasik occupying the dais, fighting hard to repel a surge from Jemulan's warriors.
Quinjar! With me, he snarled, striding out.
The Khan's battered body carried him into the heart of the storm. His dao felt heavy in his grasp, still slick with Mortarion's blood. The Keshig came with him, forming a protective cordon around their Primarch. As he swept through the heart of it, some of the fighting broke down. Warriors looked up from their jewels, seeing the ravaged armor of their Primarch again as he strode up to the throne, as if realizing only then the depths to which they had sunk in his absence. The echoing cacophony of bolter fire abated. Hasik was waiting for him. The bridge fell silent. Warriors remained in position, their weapons still poised. Every eye was fixed upon the command dais.
Noyan Khan, said the Khan coldly, climbing the steps and looking down at Hasik. What madness is unleashed here?
Hasik kept his blade in hand. His expression was inscrutable behind the lenses of his Terminator helm.
It was for all of us,
Hasik said. But even behind the rasp of the vox grill, his voice betrayed his uncertainty.
For the Legion.
You knew I would come back, said the Khan. Or did you also plan to keep me away until the fleet was secure in your hands? Was that your hope?
Hasik's weapon hand twitched.
I wish to see you and the War Master united once more. That was my only hope. The whispers of the faithless could not be allowed to prevail.
Faithless?
The Khan swept his gaze back across the bridge.
You caused this, and call others faithless?
Hasik bristled.
It can still be achieved, he cried. We made mistakes, but nonetheless we see the truth. He has called. We must follow. That has always been the way.
You have been lied to.
But, Lord, you gave no command.
You were told to wait.
Do not end this now,
urged Hasik, taking a step closer.
Give me time. Let me explain.
There is no more time.
Lord, I beg...
Enough!
Roared the Khan, raising his blade. Perhaps unconsciously, perhaps without meaning to, or perhaps through some misguided belief that his cause lent him the power to do so, Hasik lifted his own in response. The Khan pounced, sweeping his dao hard and locking edges with Hasik's tulwar. With a twist, he wrenched the sword from the Noyan Khan's gauntlet, then switched back and plunged the dao's point deep into Hasik's midriff. The strike was aimed with perfect precision, lancing through the Terminator plate with a hard crack of disruptor discharge. Hasik went rigid, impaled just below his heart, unable to respond as searing energies rippled across his body and locked him in paralysis. Slowly, grindingly, The Khan hefted Hasik off the ground one-handed, pulling him upwards until their faces were level. His blade kept Hasik in position, bearing his full weight and preventing him from responding. With every ounce of his post-human strength, the Khan reached for Hasik's helm with his free hand and wrenched it from his head, casting it to the ground in contempt. For a moment they stared into one another's eyes, one face white with shock, the other rigid with anger.
"You say you see the truth," snarled the Khan. "You know nothing of the truth. If you had done as I had commanded, I would be telling you of it now. Instead, I will only tell you this. The Legion is the Ordu of Jagatai, and none bear their blades in it save by my word. Thus it has been since we first fought together on the Altak, and no power of the universe, be it Horus or the Emperor or the gods themselves, will ever change that."
Hasik's eyes stared wildly, and blood foamed up at the corner of his mouth. His empty gauntlets flexed impotently.
"You were given freedom that no other lord would countenance," said the Khan, his voice heavy with bitterness. "Thus do you repay me, and thus do I strike you down."
The Khan flung Hasik's body aside. It flew free of the blade and crashed into the throne, cracking it lengthways, before rolling down the steps of the dais. Qin-Jar strode over to him, his own weapons drawn, but Hasik did not get up. The Khan turned away, rage still pulsed through his veins, laced with the heavy grief of betrayal. For an instant, his mind was filled with visions of lashing out further, of bringing punishment down on the entirety of his errant gene progeny, like some vengeful god of the forgotten past. In the end, though, his eyes were drawn up to the observation arch, out through the enormous real-view portals towards Prospero's orbital space. Far out into the void, silent bursts of light flashed out. Mortarion had spoken the truth about that, at least. Ships had engaged, lances were being fired, shields were buckling. There was no time left. He drew in a long breath.
"A reckoning will come,"
the Khan cried, addressing the hundreds who waited for guidance.
"But for now, battle calls. Vox the rest of the fleet. We engage the Death Guard. Guang Cha formation. Full burn."
He swept his dark gaze back across his warriors, and the weight of his disappointment in them was crushing.
"The enemy is known. We hunt again."
The sickle moon powered in close, shields buckling, lances overheating, engines thundering. The Death Guard battleship yawed away above it, burning from the strafing run and hurling back heavy lasfire in return. Somewhere close by, the Hesiod was careening into the heart of the enemy formation, weapons blazing and void shields on fire. They had both shot into the 14th Legion flotilla at full tilt, knowing that only speed could keep them alive for long. The enemy, advancing slowly to engage a divided and leaderless fleet, had initially been unprepared for the savagery of it. However, their shock had not taken long to wear off.
"Hard about!"
thundered Lushan, working hard to keep the worst of the incoming fire from tearing them into void debris.
"Watch that gunship wing! Retarget the lateral arrays!"
Yasugai stood silently as the deck tilted. Void war was an uncomfortable experience for him. There was nothing he could do to control the process. Lushan was a formidable commander, though, and that put his mind at some ease. He had already kept the ship together during a ferocious counter-barrage, and was now driving it hard towards the Death Guard vessel's dorsal hull plating.
"A power to the lances!"
Lushan ordered, gripping the arms of his command throne tightly. Even as the words left his mouth, a vicious spike of lasfire impacted across the sickle moon's starboard flank, sending the stressed void shields wild with splash-pattern distortion. The whole ship kicked, as though the engines had briefly coughed out, before it slewed down towards the engagement sphere's nadir. The bridge lumens briefly flickered out, followed by an echoing grind from many decks down. Lushan looked up at Yasugai and smiled wryly.
This might be our last pass, Zajin Aga.
Yasugai nodded.
Then make it count, brother.
The sickle moon righted, and the thrusters powered it back into position. Ahead of them, just a few hundred kilometers distant, reared the immense outline of the Death Guard battleship Lord of Hyrus. It was more than 5 times the size of the White Scar ship, and built for protracted assault. Its void shields had been strafed badly on the first attack run, but the damage had not been enough to knock them out. Lushan drove the sickle moon right at it, and Yasugai felt the deck shudder as the engines roared again.
Lances!
Lushan ordered.
Now!
The armory answered, and ice-white beams of energy shot out at the Lord of Hyrus. They hit hard amidships, cracking the void shields around them and carving into the hull. The White Scar's crew cheered, watching the damage spread rapidly. Explosions blossomed out across the battleship, ripping up hull plating and exposing the deck lattice beneath.
Hold about! Ordered Lushan. And they will respond with...
The sickle moon was hit by a blinding volley of countermeasures almost instantly. Torpedoes scythed through the clouds of venting plasma, catching the ship as it angled tightly away from the Death Guard vessel. Lasfire followed, well-aimed and dense. Yasugai glanced at the scopes. The rearmost of the bigger warships was coming around for the kill, its weapons powering. The Hesiod was in bigger trouble. It had recklessly charged straight into the maw of the monstrous flagship, the Endurance. Henrikos had caused havoc, but had taken a horrific amount of return fire. He would be lucky to last more than a few more minutes.
"Can we cover the Hesiod?"
asked Yasugai calmly.
Lushan laughed. "We will do well to survive our own attack run."
The sickle moon was still travelling fast, burning at 3/4 full thrust. Heavier lasfire followed it like crows mobbing a raptor. Another torpedo hit somewhere to aft, sending fresh judders radiating through the structure. They hurtled away from the Lord of Hyrus, sweeping clear of its hard-edged turrets before powering into the void beyond. Just as Yasugai thought that Lushan had somehow angled them clear of danger, another battleship loomed down over them from hard to port zenith, its weapons already throbbing hot, its void shields evidently intact. Yasugai saw the stylized skull on the prow and knew they could never hope to hurt it, not quickly enough.
"Pull away!"
roared Lushan. Yasugai clutched his staff a little tighter. No doubt the enemy gunners had already targeted them.
No, he said calmly. Maintain position.
That will carry us into their teeth, warned Lushan.
Yasugai nodded.
We were never going to come out of this, brother.
Lushan drew in a breath, then bowed.
Belay move! Master Gunner, give me everything we have left.
He smiled at Yasugai grimly.
We can at least dent their pride.
The sickle moon aborted its hard turn and fed more power to the engines. The vast shadow of the Death Guard vessel filled the forward scopes, bristling with banks of swollen weaponry. 2 massive lances jutted from under the bladed prow, each one decorated with screaming death's heads. Their muzzles glowed as the immense power lines lit up. The sickle moon fired first. A spread of las beams and a final torpedo volley screamed out into the void. The aim was good. The enemy took a flurry of hits, exploding out across the prow in an inferno of fiery light. When the flames gutted out, they revealed a blackened and distorted mess of metal. Sparks spiraled out into the void from the twisted remains of bulkheads and sensor shrouds.
Did we eliminate the lances?
Asked Yasugai, daring to hope. Lushan shook his head, still smiling.
Too much to wish for, I fear.
The sickle moon was still on an intercept course, and too committed to pull out of range in time. Lushan ordered it into a steep dive, but even Yasugai could see that it would take effect too late. The lances on the Death Guard vessel surged with pre-firing light. The weapons seemed oddly beautiful in the endless night, like quo hanging lanterns glowing under a sunset. Yasugai stood tall, determined to face it with his eyes open.
Let it be that we did some good, he thought as the lances fired. Let it be that the example was enough.
The Death Guard ship loosed its payload, and the anterior view screens went dark. Static crackled across the picked feeds. Yasugai tensed for the roar and rush of the vacuum, for the bridge to spin apart around him. The destruction never arrived. With a sudden lurch of recognition, he realized what had made the scopes go black. A ship. An immense, proud, vast, and powerful ship had interposed itself between them, casting a shadow across the sickle moon's scopes and blotting out the light of Prospero's sun. Swordstorm. He'd forgotten just how majestic the flagship was. It had been a manoeuvre of phenomenal ship mastery to bring such a monster between the Death Guard and its prey. Now it coursed smoothly above them, row upon row of cannons nestled along dagger-length flanks. Its thrusters swelled red into the void, burning like a cluster of angry stars.
"The Kurgan!"
cried Lushan, rising up from the throne. Just as he spoke, the Swordstorm opened up with a full broadside. The void disappeared in a raging storm of light, flaring like dawn over the Altak. The 14th Legion vessel was caught up in it, subsumed and deluged in a curtain of fire. Explosions blazed along its hull, feeding on one another, racing out from the impact centres and blistering the adamantium plating. Yasugai stared up at the locator scopes. More ships were coming in, pulling out of their lethargy and burning towards the Death Guard flotilla. He could see the signature of the Lance of Heaven at the forefront. Even the laggards, the ones that had seemed lifeless and drifting, were coming about. More beams of energy lanced through the void, lighting up the well of space with new fire. He bowed his head, allowing himself for just an instant to feel relief.
Zadjin Aga.
The voice that came over the comm somehow did not degrade like the others. It had been 6 years since last he heard it. It retained its old richness, though spiked with something else. Disillusionment, perhaps. Yasugai turned to the hololith, forming over the column at his shoulder. The Khan's face materialized into a flickering shroud.
Was that a feint, then?
Yasugai asked, trying not to let his delight at the image break out too evidently.
The fleet? No, sadly not. We suffered division in your absence. What kept you?
Yasugai smiled.
The universe, he said.
Lushan pulled the sickle moon clear of the worst of the fighting. The crew struggled to keep the shields in any kind of shape, and the weapons array was in ruins, but it would survive. More White Scars vessels surged past them, racing into combat and covering their withdrawal.
That's Sons of Horus vessel, said the Khan. An ally? It will be destroyed if it keeps fighting.
Do your best to protect it, please, said Yasugai. It contains an Iron Hand who deserves to live, much as that will irritate him, and salamanders, all of whom will fight again.
As they spoke, the Death Guard formation began to fall back. Outnumbered and outpaced, the escort started to fall into a defensive cordon, preparing the way for the larger vessels to break for their jump points. The White Scars went after them, harrying, strafing, hurling all their pent-up fury in a maelstrom of lance energy. The Khan's image distorted briefly as the Swordstorm issued another truly ferocious broadside.
You have been missed, Weathermaker, he said,
then flickered out. Yasugai bowed again, watching the sphere of combat fall away as the sickle moon pulled further back. The Swordstorm ploughed onwards, wreathed in the fire of its own weapons, hurled like a spear into the heart of the fighting. And then, at last, the pride of the Legion came after it, streaking across the void like raptors over an open sky.